I did this little one here too. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Yes, we'd like to talk about the hope of our, the hope that the Lord has given us, which is a resurrection from the dead and a victory over that last enemy, which is called death. I was at a funeral yesterday. His name was Milton. He's a man that was only 1 year older than me. One of my best friends, I would say, from this area of New York. We kind of grew up together. He became a minister in the Mennonite church here. But he was a man that I loved, and it just kind of grieves me that he's been taken. He really wasn't well the last year or two. He was beginning to lose his comprehension of what was going on. Anyway, it is good to know that we have a hope. We have our hope in the Lord Jesus. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to the 15th chapter. And I'm sure anytime you hear the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you know this whole chapter, 58 verses, the whole thing is about the resurrection. Now, we don't preach resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. We don't preach so much the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. In the churches today, as much as I find that they did in the first century, it seems that it's pretty well an accepted thing that there was a resurrection, at least among the churches. That's one thing that I think they can all agree upon. If they don't, there's no point in calling yourself a church and putting your shingle out like I said, calling yourself Christians. But it, in the first century, I think there were there were certain principles that the apostles had to really lay down. And lay them down, lay them down. There would be no question about it that Jesus really did raise from the dead in the power that was given by the Father. So let us look at some of these verses in the 15th chapter. Let's probably start in 42. We'll come back to some others earlier. But let's start in number 42. Well, maybe we can start in a little before that. Let's go back to 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fish, and another of birds. Oh, there we have birds again. Amen. There are also celestial bodies. Now, what is a celestial body? A celestial body is a heavenly body, okay? In other words, it's not an earthly flesh and blood type of body, all right? And bodies terrestrial. Terrestrial would be earthly. Celestial, terrestrial, all right? But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Well, they're hardly comparable, are they? Amen? There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. He must have had a pretty good telescope to figure that out. because I don't have good enough eyesight that I can't tell what Jupiter looks like or Saturn, without a high-powered telescope. Somehow he had some kind of a revelation that one star differeth from another. When you really get up to them, there's nothing alive up there at all. It's just a bunch of dead rock and gas and this type of thing, but there's a glory to it. It reflects the sun. Amen. So also, here we come now. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Amen. Now, Brendan, you've lived long enough by now to figure out that what we've got that we're walking around in is corruption. All right? We hear these prayer requests. There's things going wrong in these bodies. Amen. They're wearing out. There's things that aren't functioning properly. It's corruptible and it's being corrupted because it's going to run out. It's going to run out of time. Amen. The clock is going to run out on it. Amen. It is sown in dishonor. Amen. When we get put into the grave, it's really something that is going to decay. It's sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. And by the way, that word power is dunamis power. Physical dynamite type of power, dunamis, amen. It is sown a natural body. What we have now, what I'm looking at in your screens here, those of you that have your face shown, I'm seeing a natural body, amen. And I know you by looking at the natural body. Now, if you were just sitting there without your natural body, and only your soul, I wouldn't know you unless you opened up your mouth and began to speak. And then I would recognize Mike and I would recognize Nancy and Howard and I could tell you by your speech, but what I'm looking at is just a natural body. Amen. It is sown. Sown means it gets put into the ground. It's buried. The end. You've died. Sown. A natural body, it is raised. Now here's the thing. It is raised a spiritual body. Amen. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Now we're going to make that quite clear here as we go through this. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now we're talking about a soul. Adam was a body. The Lord created him as a flesh and blood body, but until God breathed into him his spirit, he did not become a living soul. He may have had breath, but he didn't have the spirit of God until God breathed it into him. So the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, now who's the last Adam? Jesus, amen, was made a quickening spirit. Are you familiar with that word quickening? You know where I learned the meaning of that word quickening? Was when I went through nurses training, amen, and we got into the obstetrics and the thing about birth and conception and that type of thing, and they used the term that there comes a certain point of time in the mother's time of carrying the child. There's a certain point of time called quickening. And we could ask, well, what's that mean, professor? Well, that means the time that the child moves. The first time she feels that child move, and she can write that down on the calendar, and she can say, well, that was the time of quickening. I felt the child move. So I know that there's some real life there. Now, let's use that word here. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now the point is, he's quickening some other life than just natural. He's quickening spiritual life in us. Amen? How many of you remember when you felt that quickening of the Holy Spirit? Amen? And you invited the Lord, you invited the Spirit of God to come into your life. Amen? How be it, that was not first, which was spiritual. In other words, we started off in the lower realm. We started off as just a physical body, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which was spiritual. Now, brethren, you surely take this to be understood as it's meant to be understood, don't you? Well, let me tell you why I'm saying that. We were overseas at a conference one time, and there were people that were giving us a hard time. They had promised us a meeting place, and they were the place that we had rented was reneging on it, and they were going to give it to somebody else that was playing some kind of rock music or something. And this one young brother, kind of carnal thinking, he said, "Well, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fight with them." I said, "Brother, no. If they put us out into the hallway, we'll have our meeting out in the hallway." "No," he says, "I'm going to go in." I said, what gives you, come on, we're Christians." He says, "No, first the natural, then the spiritual. I'm going to go in and give them the natural first." I said, "Brother, you are way misunderstanding that verse." No, it means that we were in the natural. We're not going to go back and recreate some natural thing and hope that a spiritual thing will come out of it. All right, let me go on here a little bit. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord of heaven. So first, Adam, natural, earthy, carnal. Second, Christ, spiritual. Okay? As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. They're different. Okay? As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Brother Bert had a song one time. Did the Lord give him that song? Nancy, what was the name of that song?
So which one are you referring to?
As I have borne. Incorruptible seed.
Yes, the Lord did give him that.
Yeah, incorruptible seed. That's what that's all about. All right? I have that incorruptible seed. There's something in me that is going to spring forth into a spiritual being. All right? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, in the condition that we are in our natural body, our spiritual man can inherit the kingdom of God. But this thing here, flesh and blood, in the condition that it is, it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Something has to happen. If it dies, it has to be sown in corruption and will come forth in incorruption. Mortality, it comes forth in immortality. All right? Remember this now. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to hear that time and time again. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Let me go on two more verses. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There's coming a time when men will be changed who will not have to go through death. Now, I'm looking forward to that, but I can't make it happen. I'd like to mark that date on the calendar, but I can't do it. If I do so, it will be a foolish act and it won't happen. I've never yet heard a man who has made the prediction of when the day of the Lord is going to come, when he's going to return, that has been accurate. No man yet has been able to hit the mark. Now, I suppose if every man in the world were to set a mark and we could make 500,000 more days, somebody might hit the mark, but not because it was of the Spirit. Amen? All right. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. So the change is going to come, whether we be dead or whether we have not yet died. Sorry. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that means trumpet, it doesn't mean Mr. Trump. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, this verse here is talking about the day of resurrection. And it's not a quiet thing. It's a loud and noisy thing. I expect that a natural sound will be heard by even those who are corrupt, those who are unredeemed. The world is going to know. Nobody is going to miss this event on the earth, okay? The trumpet shall sound, amen? The angel shall shout, all right. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal means it's going to die, must put on immortality, which means it's not going to die. And that, we'll just finish one more verse. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. All right, now let's just consider this a little Bible study here today. It's something that we already know, but let's find the basis of why we know it. And the basis is the Word of God. If we don't find it in the Word of God, it's probably not true. All right, 2 Corinthians. We're still in letters to the Corinthian people. Apparently, they really needed to know this thing about resurrection. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's do the first four verses. For we know that if our earthly house, what's our earthly house again? This. Amen. Our earthly house. I'm living in an earthly house right now. My soul is living in it. Amen. I have no idea what my spiritual house is going to look like, but it doesn't matter. My earthly house of this tabernacle, it's also called a tabernacle, all right, a dwelling place. If this earthly house, this tabernacle were dissolved, gone. Amen. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we've got something better than we're walking around in now. For in this we groan earnestly. How many of you are earnestly groaning? Well, if you're 16 years old, you probably aren't aware of much earnest groaning yet. Amen? But if you're over the age of, say, 40 or 50, You're aware that things are happening that are not advantageous to the longevity of your body. Amen. So we are groaning, we are praying, we're saying, oh God, can you heal me of this? Oh Lord, what's going to happen with this? Amen. In this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We're looking to put on that mantle of the heavenly house, that we can live in something better than what we've got right now. Amen. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now that word naked is a Greek word gunos. And when we were talking about demon spirits a while ago, they are naked. In other words, they are not clothed. They're just running about, actually in hell, but they're allowed, some of them, to run about the earth and try to corrupt human beings. But they do not have a house. They're disembodied human spirits, demons. All right? So, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. All right. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Paul must have been over 40 years old when he was writing that. We do groan, being burdened, not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Mortality. What's mortality? Mortality means you're going to die. Swallowed up with life. So Paul is talking about just taking this as a mantle and covering over us. And the old man is gone, and the spiritual man is here too. Now, we're talking about resurrection. And let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, because we discovered one day that there is actually an order of resurrection. How many of you knew there was an order of resurrection? How many of you do you suppose there are in that order? How many different resurrections could you identify? Well, let's see what we can identify. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So order. Who's number one? Christ. Number one is Christ. The first fruit. First means first. First fruits means not only the first, but the best. Okay? And, all right, we'll just leave it at that. Christ is number one in the order. All right? For since by man came death, by man came death. How did that happen? Now, Adam was placed in the garden, and there was no sentence of death on Adam when God created him. In the garden were two trees. Well, there were a whole lot of trees, but two specific trees. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, if you took that, you partook of knowing what evil was. I mean, you were just good up until then. But now you found out there was something else, evil. The other tree was the tree of life. Had Adam gone to that tree, and Eve, I might say, had they gone to that tree first and left the other one be, Adam would still be alive right now. And we would not be looking forward to a calendar in the future when they would mark it and say, well, that's the day that he died. They put their obituary up and say he was born in 1941. He died in 20 something or other. All right. He became the first fruit. Since man, by man came death, by man. Now, this man was Jesus Christ. He came to earth as a man. He was the God of heaven. While he was the God of heaven, he was not a man. But now he came down. Oh, look what a terrible thing that he came down to. I can hardly believe that he took that step down. The creator God of the whole universe, amen, and he came down to live in this corrupt flesh just so he could redeem us from the penalty of death and hell. All right. By man came also the resurrection of the dead, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, by the way, that's all who are in Christ. All who are in Christ, okay? For every, now here we go. For every man in his own order. What? I didn't know that. Every man in his own order. In other words, Christ is the first fruit. Now man is going to partake of resurrection in an order. One, two, three, four. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. Now, when is this resurrection to take place? At his coming. Now, the word coming is not the same as appearing. In other words, he will appear suddenly in his temple, but that isn't the time of resurrection. The word coming here means at the parousia, when he comes and he's going to stay. No fly-by grabbing, just the full coming. At the coming of Christ, okay, there is going to be a resurrection at that time. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. All these kingdoms, all these kings, all these dictators, presidents, what have you, at his coming, they're all being put down. Christ himself comes as the king. Amen. Let me go on. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And there are many that are going to be opposing him. Hallelujah. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death. Death and hell. I have the keys of death and hell. He's going to destroy that enemy for those who are his. All right, so we're going to talk about the order. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to see what happened here at the time of the resurrection. All in his order. Christ is the first. And here in chapter 27, we see something happen that we don't very often read about. Verse 51. Oh, that's 26. We've got to get the right one here. Chapter 27, verse 51. Well, let's just read verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Top to bottom. It's interesting. God got a hold of that thing from the top and just ripped it right down to the bottom. Amen. Rent in twain. That means two pieces. From the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. In other words, he tore that thing so hard that it just tore earth up around it. The rocks rent. Okay? Now, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Wow. There was a resurrection in Jerusalem. Amen. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. Remember, he had to be the first. After his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now we'll leave it right there. The order, all right? We've got the second step in an order. Jesus the first. Christ the first. Now, because that resurrection power was so strong in Jerusalem that it hit the graves of some of the people that were in the vicinity, opened them up, and they just joined in the resurrection with Jesus. Now, I don't think they had to die again. I think that was a permanent resurrection. I don't know where they went after that. There's nothing recorded. But this is very interesting, and it's all men. Only mentioned in Matthew. All right, we've got number two. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 11, and we'll find the next in an order. And I believe this happens in Revelation 11 before the general resurrection of the dead. You know what Revelation 11 is? It's the two witnesses. So let me read a couple verses, maybe verse 11 and 12, okay? Well, just to get into context here, we'll take a few more verses. Let's go back to 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. In other words, they're going to lay their life down. They're going to follow the Lamb whithersoever the Lamb goeth. Amen. And their dead bodies, now they truly did die. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was certified. I'm not sure what. Crucified, yeah. What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Crucified, yes. I'm not sure that this is identifying an exact geographic location. It's a spiritual location. It says Sodom. It means a place of wickedness. Somewhere on this earth, they're going to resurrect capital punishment and beheading, and the world will fully believe that the two witness company really has it coming. They really deserve it. Look at the terrible things they've done to the earth. Look at the hateful things that have happened, that our New World Order has been interrupted and disrupted, and they're just preventing the goodness of the new social life. They're just preventing it from coming. So the world is going to hate them. You know, they can make news, put it on every day, write another article. Some new journalist will write, look at the poor people that suffered because of what these people did. Oh, isn't it terrible? And then a guy, just like they did this past week, some guy in Washington, D.C., he sees a couple people from the from the Israel embassy standing outside the museum there, and he just pulls out a gun and just shoots him down. Free, what is it? Free Gaza or Palestine, free Palestine. It isn't going to take much to stir up the hatred of people in this earth and demand the death of the Christians. It isn't going to take much because the devil is right there ready to stir that thing up at any time. All right, so, and they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations, this has gone out. When I read this, when I used to read this passage, what, 50 years ago, I could not figure out how this was going to happen. I mean, I could figure out how it could happen spiritually, but I could not figure out how this was going to happen naturally. Well, now I can see it quite plainly. I mean, how? This is how. I've been in some of the poorest places on this world, and you know what I found out? The poorest people I've ever seen are carrying one of these. How did they get them? I mean it. I could not believe it. Then I saw another video that somebody made. And what is that country, Somalia? Out by the coast, just below Ethiopia. What is it? Is it Somalia? Help me with the geography. You the African brothers, you know the African continent. I think it's Somalia. Yeah. And some desperately poor people, but also some unrighteous people. And they were showing these people coming out to the coast and holding their phones up so that they could pick up a signal. Apparently, they knew that there was a certain place that they could pick up a signal. And I'm saying, how can the whole world know that these people have been killed and they can view their bodies laying in the street? Well, I can see it happening now, even in the natural. And they are going to know. And the journalists are going to play it right to the hilt, especially the liberal journalists. And there's many, many of them, So, okay. The people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead body. They are truly dead. 3 days and a half. That's an interesting number, isn't it? Three and a half. And it's 3.5 years of tribulation. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. In other words, these people said, in 3.5 days, I will be resurrected in my order. And they said, we know that they were lying. We're going to put the television cameras on them. We're going to keep it there. And we're going to prove that they are lying. And we're going to prove that we have won over them and that they're not going to prevail. And that kingdom of Christ that they're talking about is nothing, nothing, nothing. It's not going to happen. And here we are, this reporter. Here we are now in 3 days and a half, and they said thus and thus, and they prophesied thus and thus, and here we are, we see it isn't happening. Oh, wait a minute, something's happening here. Yeah, amen. And they that dwell upon earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. They're a big Christmas party. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to that day too. Amen. The kingdom of God coming in its fullness. Amen. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The tenth part, do you know what that literally means? The literal translation of the tenth part is they were decimated. When they say the army was sent out and it was decimated, it means that the tenth of that army was wiped out right there, decimated, tenth. Amen. And 7,000, that's not a natural number. Seven is the fullness. There was a full shaking and death that took place of the enemies. All right, so we're talking about the order. So we've come to now first Christ, then those that were raised in Jerusalem at his resurrection. Now we see another group, the two witness company. And this is more than two individuals, brethren. This is a company. Amen? It's a spiritual company. All right, now go to Revelation chapter 20. And you say, Brother Mark, we've been at chapter 20 for over a month now, haven't we? All right, we're talking about resurrection. Let's talk about resurrection. Chapter 20, verse 4. Well, I'll give the context here. And the angel came down from heaven, saying, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Amen. Jesus said, I have the keys of hell and of death. He handed that key to the angel. Might have been Michael, who knows? We know Michael had the power. He had the key of the bottomless pit, of the abyss. Now, this isn't just hell. This is the abyss. This isn't just where that rich man was. This is something else. Amen. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, that's all his names, and bound him 1,000 years. Well, that's a pretty good chain. Amen. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him. Oh, wow, he's even sealed there. Amen. That he should deceive the nations no more. How does Satan get by with all that he's doing? He doesn't have the physical power. He does not have the dunamis power. He gets it by deception. The whole thing that he's done since the Garden of Eden has been deception. And he's going to be cut off from that. Amen. Deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years. So we're talking about 1,000 years after the coming of Christ, the parousia. Just looking way forward, should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Now here's the martyrs. For the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, okay, this is in our generation, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. In other words, they didn't buy any of that New World Order, buy and sell anything. They didn't buy it at all. Amen. There's going to come a time, brethren, when they're going to ask for something that we can't give them. I don't know what it is, but we'll know it when it comes. It's not just having a bank account. That isn't it. There's something more that they're going to demand. I think they've done some testing with this COVID thing. They've done some testing to see how much they can get away with. There's something else they're going to try. We'll know it when they do it. Amen. All right. They had neither the mark on their foreheads nor in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. All right. So there's a resurrection. So that is, I believe, a general resurrection. We'll come down to verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. But there were others in that order. This is called the first resurrection. Amen. On such the second death hath no power. So the second death is going to be the resurrection of the unjust, but they're not going to be a resurrection to life. It'll be a resurrection to the lake of fire. They'll be given some kind of a spiritual corrupted body to take into hell with them. I call it hell. It's the lake of fire. Amen. On such the second death hath no power. All right. So those who are partaking of this first resurrection, the general resurrection at the coming of Jesus Christ, the second death is not going to do any harm at all to them. Amen. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, that's as far as we know. We really don't know much of what's going to happen after 1,000 years up until that point. Now, one last thing. Let me read verse 5. We're talking about the resurrection of the wicked. But the rest of the dead, the unrighteous, live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. All right, see, the righteous resurrection took place at the beginning of the 1,000 years. Now, what he's saying here is there's another resurrection at the end of the 1,000 years of those who are in Hades, Sheol, hell, where the rich man is looking over at Lazarus. But Lazarus won't be there for him to look at anymore. He's been taken to paradise. All right. So there is a final resurrection of the unjust. Okay, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Well, I'm referring back to verse 4, was the first resurrection of the just. All right, now go down to verse 13 and 14, and we'll talk about this final resurrection of the unjust. Verse 13. Well, let me read verse 12 so that it gets you into, well, we'll go back to 11. This is the whole scene here. Yeah. Now, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So, book or books? Our judgment, brethren, is book. There's only one thing about it. Is your name there or is your name not there? If your name is there, that's where you are. If your name isn't there, you're judged according to books, plural. And what is books is all the things you've done. Now, if you think you can make it to heaven on the basis of good works, you'll have a lot of things written about you and you'll be judged according to them. But it's still going to be hell. And they will be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Let's go on. And the sea gave up the dead. Now, wait a minute. Imagine that. What's happened to somebody that died 3,000 years ago in the sea? What remnant of their body is there in the sea? I mean, you can take cameras through the sea as deep as you want. You're not going to find one iota of that guy that died 2,000 years ago when he fell overboard in the sea. I mean, the sharks ate him and everything else. But listen to this. And the sea gave up the dead. Now, God is going to find the remnant of this guy and pull it out of the sea. It's still there. Maybe a little bit here, a little bit there, scattered all over the half the Atlantic Ocean. The sea gave up the dead. Now, of course, we know that the sea also means the unredeemed of the world. They're going to give up, which were in it, and death and hell, death and hell, Hades. Hades, where that rich man is still wanting a drop of water from Lazarus. That man is still suffering from the heat. They're coming out of there too. All right? Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell. Now remember, we saw him riding on one of the horses. Death and hell followed. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Well, now that's a resurrection I don't want anything to do with. So there is a judgment that occurs. At some point, the man in hell is crying, "Oh Lord, let me up." Well, he apparently he's going to get his prayer answered for a few minutes. He's going to be brought up, judged, and thrown into something that is very permanent and probably worse than anything he's had so far. That's all I know about it. It's what's written here. All right, now let's we've come to the end of our order of resurrection. Let's look at First Thessalonians, and we want to talk
Mark,
about
could I ask something before you go on?
go ahead.
In verse 13, every man is judged according to their works. This is the sinners.
The
Is
sinner.
that not is that's not good works, I wouldn't think. That would be their evil works that they did.
Every work,
Am I
Howard.
not right?
Every
Every
work.
work, but you're not going to be better in hell.
The punishment is going to vary according to what you've done. Hitler and
Would think it's
Stalin. Hitler
how
and
bad you were, not
Stalin
how
and
good
Idi
things.
Amin and some of these guys that were really bloody, terrible people, they're going to have a terrible, terrible punishment. The
Right.
guy that
Yes.
tried to be good, you know, he gave to the poor, he joined the Lions Club, you know, and he coached the little league. He was just a good old boy, but he would not accept Jesus Christ as his savior. Well, he's going to be in hell, but he isn't going to be suffering as much as Stalin or Hitler.
Right, because he didn't do the bad things.
Yeah.
But he's still in hell because he didn't believe. I don't think it's good
yeah.
that he
His
did
conscience
higher in
won't
hell.
be bothering him from the people who he tortured and tormented. That will be
Right.
bothering. I mean, if you've killed and tortured 1,000 people, they're going to be screaming at you forever and ever in hell of what you did to them. Oh yeah, they're going to hear that forever and ever, and they'll never be able to get away from it. Where the worm dieth not, amen. And what was the other part of that? And the fire is not quenched. Whatever is eating them is going to just eat at them and eat at them, and the fire of hatred that they just built up such a hatred. This thing is just going to, what did it say in Isaiah? A fire shall come forth out of him and consume him. I'm trying to quote that verse about the devil. He's going to be consumed by his own hatred. And just he's going to suffer worse than anybody, any human being ever, because hell was created for him and his cronies. Did that get it, Howard? Okay, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Now we're going to get into, we're going to read some of these verses that the rapture people are using. And I'm going to tell you why it can't work. Because the whole context of what is being written here in 1 Thessalonians is the parousia and the resurrection. Now they're saying that the rapture is occurring before the tribulation, and we know that the resurrection occurs at the end of the tribulation, at the last trump, when Christ returns. He returns his parousia. All right. Let's get it right from the word now. Let's take verse 13 in chapter 3. Now remember, when Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians, he didn't put chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. He just wrote. But this last verse here really belongs in the next chapter. So let's read it. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the parousia coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now you got the picture. When Christ returns, he's coming with. He's bringing them. He's not taking them away. He's coming with all those who have died. In other words, it's the time of the resurrection. All right, let's go on to the next chapter, and we'll go down to verse 13. All right. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Come on, let's not be ignorant about this thing like is taught in the churches. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now there's the key word there, is the word hope. All right? When I told you that the mansions, that he has many mansions for us, that does not include big multi-million-dollar houses, and you come up to me and say, Brother Mark, you've taken away my hope. No, that is not the hope. The hope is resurrection. When I tell you that rapture is not a pre-tribulation thing so that you don't have to go through any hardship, I'm not taking away your hope. The hope is your resurrection. This is what it says here. Others which have no hope. In other words, they don't believe in resurrection. And there were people who don't, and today, people that don't. They believe when you die, that's it. Your candle is snuffed out, just like your dog or your cat, that's it. Bury them in the backyard somewhere, and their soul is gone. No, not with human souls, because God breathed into man a living soul. Your dog and your cow, they don't have a living soul. They have a soul, but not a living soul. Amen? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, now there, the apostolic message of the first century, Jesus died and rose again. Come on, Jesus died and rose again. And they just keep pushing this because this is the basis of our hope. Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep or are dead in Jesus will God bring with him. Keep this in mind. The coming of Jesus Christ, he's coming to stay. He's coming to tabernacle with us, remain with us. The Feast of Tabernacles is going to be fulfilled. Amen. And the saints that have fallen asleep, died before this, are coming back with us. Now, where they're coming from is not a natural place. They're coming from a spiritual place back to this earth, which is a natural place, but it's going to be made into a spiritual kingdom. But there will be natural people here. Babies being born. Old people getting old. Amen. Some of them dying. Amen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now Paul is saying, I have the word of the Lord on this. That we which are alive and remain, okay, we hope that happens in our generation. I'm hoping for it. There were others ahead of me that hoped for it. It didn't happen, but I'm still hoping for it. We which are alive and remain unto the coming. Now that word coming is the word parousia. At the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or come ahead of them which are asleep. All right, they get their resurrection and we get changed. For the Lord himself shall descend, come down, descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, not the dead in unrighteousness, but the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, is that clear? This is not a secret. Wake up in the morning and your wife is missing because Christ came. See, this is the passage that they use to say pre-trib rapture. This is not what is being described here. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ, the fullness of the coming of Jesus Christ, coming with all the saints, and the time of the great general resurrection of those who are dead in Christ. If you want to claim this passage for rapture, you've got the wrong passage. It's clearly out of context. Let me go on. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Caught up to what? Come on, Christ is coming with the saints. The word parousia means he's coming and he's staying. He's remaining here on earth to set up his kingdom. Everything that we've read so far, he's putting down all other authority. All enemies are going to be subdued at this time. He is not flying by and grabbing us and taking us off somewhere else. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That word is harpazio. It means plucked up by force. Amen. Paul said that he was caught up to the third heaven. Well, Paul didn't get raptured. He remained right here on earth, but his spirit, his soul, went somewhere in heavenly places and he saw things. Amen. You know, I almost tasted that when I had the heart attack. My spirit, my soul was somewhere else. I was in another kingdom, and yet I was aware that I was here in a hospital bed. And yet I was in a spiritual place. I don't know how to figure it out. It was just a nice place to be in. Amen. All right. Caught up together with them in the clouds. He's coming with clouds. We are surrounded by clouds of witnesses. Clouds. This is the cloud, not natural clouds, clouds of people. Amen. Caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's take these words again. The word air is not the troposphere or the ionosphere or whatever it is out there. It's atmosphere. It's where we live and breathe. Come on, the Greeks have another meaning for another kind of air that's way out there that they don't know what's up there. They have another word for that. This word means the air from the top of Mount Olympus, which was their highest mountain, down to sea level. Our air, it's going to happen here where we live and breathe. We're going to be caught up in this atmosphere. Now, let me give you one more word, to meet the Lord in the air. By the way, I can give you several other scriptures about that word air, but we don't need to right today. To meet the Lord in the air, meet. All right? What we think generally by the word meet is, I went down to Walmart yesterday and I met Mike down there. Mike was down there in Walmart and he was shopping, and I shook his hand. I said, "Hi Mike, how you doing?" And then I left and I went home, and Mike went home to his home, and I came home and I said, "Guess who I met in Walmart? I met Mike." That is not this word. Now, if Mike came to my outer gate, if I had a fence around my house, and he came knocking at my gate and calling to me, and I went out to the gate and I opened the gate to meet Mike, and I brought him into my house, and I set him down in my house, and I fed him dinner and entertained him and told him he could stay overnight. That is the correct definition of the word meet. And that word meet is used three times in the New Testament. I've told you this before. Am I boring you? All right. The first place it's used is the parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins, let me read the verse so I get it right. It's in Acts, or it's in Matthew 25, 24, I mean. No, 25. Rita was right, 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins that took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They were waiting for the parousia. And they did. Five of them were wise, and they met the bridegroom, and they took him into their chamber, and the bride became one with the groom. And they became one. It was the divine marriage between Christ and the body of Christ, his bride. Five of them weren't ready for that meeting. All right, the other place it's used is in the last chapter of Acts. I forget what the number is, 20 or 20 something, 20, 21, 22, what is the number here? 24, oh.
Last and chapter is 20.
What is it?
Last chapter of Acts is 26.
Oh, here it is. It's in the last chapter, chapter 25, Acts 25, or 28, I mean, I'm sorry. My eyes aren't good. 28, and let's start at verse 12, and landing at Syracuse. I didn't know there was a Syracuse over there. We have a Syracuse just 100 miles south of us. Big city. It's got a nice airport there. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence, we fetched a compass and came up to Rigium. And after 1 day, a south wind blew, and we came the next day to Putulii, where we found brethren and were desired tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appian Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, these people, the brethren in Rome, came down there to that Appian and three taverns to meet Paul. Now, they didn't just come down there to shake his hand and say, hey, Paul, how you doing? Oh, good. All right, we're going to send you back to where you came from now. No, they came to escort Paul into Rome. And this is the meaning of the verse here in Thessalonians that says, and so shall we meet the Lord in the air. We're going to meet him here where we live. Because this is where he's coming. There is nothing in this passage that can support a pre-trib rapture. There is a bit of a rapture here, I guess, caught up to meet him in the air. That can be a rather rapturous experience. But we're not going anywhere. We're not going off this earth. Yes, it will be rapture. Yes, it will be a wonderful, wonderful experience. All right, now let me see. Are we? Oh my goodness! Can I go a little bit over time? I want to read in Daniel, the 12th chapter. We've read this recently. I want to read it again, because it applies to what we're talking about. Daniel 12:1, and at that time, now Daniel is talking about the things that we just read. He's a prophet here. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, amen, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. There's that book again, the book. Moses knew about that book. He offered to have his name taken out of that book so that the children of Israel could be saved. And the Lord said, no, not going to be done. Your name isn't coming out of that book. And many that sleep in the dust of the earth, amen, our parents, amen, godly people, shall awake. Now here's the two resurrections, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So the hell that they're in, they're going to be brought out of and put into the lake of fire. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. All right. What is this new body going to be like? We might as well take a little bit of time to describe that since we're on the subject. Matthew 22. Your wife is not going to be your wife over there, brother. She might be one of your best angel friends, but she won't be your wife, and you won't be her husband. Matthew 22, and the Sadducees came up to Jesus, and they gave him this hypothetical tale about a woman that married a guy, and he died, so the brother had to take her. He died. The next guy, you know, almost like Henry VIII. But anyway, she had seven, Henry VII, and he died. And so in the resurrection, see, they didn't believe in the resurrection. In the resurrection, which one of those guys is going to be her husband? Now listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. Now, what he's saying apparently could be found in scripture. I'm not sure where it is, but if Jesus said it's in scripture, it's in scripture, and I just haven't run across it yet. Oh, I've read it. I didn't understand it. But he's making it clear. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. In other words, they are neither male nor female. But that's in heaven. That's not here on earth. On earth, we have male and we have female, and we conduct our lives as male and female on this earth. All right. Now, what about this body? Jesus is giving us a little hint about the kind of body that the resurrected body is. But let's look at what his body was like and see a little bit about what our hope is all about. Luke chapter 24. I won't be long. We'll get through this quite quickly here. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Now we're in the last chapter of Luke, all right? After the resurrection of Jesus, verse 36. So they were gathered together in a room, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Let me go on. Yeah. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do ye your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. In other words, feel of me. I'm real. That it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye have, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. So this is a body. He said it's flesh and bone, but it's not flesh and blood. Different kind of flesh. Flesh and bone, but not flesh and blood. Now this kind of spiritual body, he can walk through a door without opening it. He is a spirit, but he's not just a spirit. No, he said, I'm not a spirit. I'm solid. Feel of my hands. Feel of my body. All right, let's take another witness. We need one more witness to this. John chapter 20. We're coming toward the end of John. John chapter 20. And let's look at verse 19. So again, the disciples are gathered together. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, so we would call that Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, then Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be with you. He didn't open the door. He just came. Peace be with you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Why his side? Because the soldier had put his sword in his side and opened it up. So he could show them his side, but his side wasn't bleeding. His hands weren't bleeding anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. And when the disciples were glad, when they saw him. So, one last thing. I want to go to Brother Job. Last verse here is Job. When was the book of Job written? Does anybody know? It's considered to be a very old book. Probably before the books of Moses. He probably lived in the time before Abraham. So after the flood, before Abraham, there was a man by the name of Job. He was a righteous man. We don't know anything more about him. But you know what? Job believed in the resurrection. I want to read you two passages from Job. First is the 14th chapter. And just one verse, verse 14. Well, I'll read 13 too. And this is Job speaking. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time I will wait till my change come. We have a song, I will wait till my change come. Yeah. One more verse in Job. Job, where did he get this about resurrection. He believed in it. 19, Job 19, just two verses, 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. His Redeemer hadn't shown up at all yet. There was no Jesus yet. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He believed in the coming of Jesus. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, he believed he was going to die and the worms were going to eat his flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I'm going to die. My mortal body, my corruptible is going to decay. Worms are going to eat it. Everything else is going to decay. Yet this body, yet my flesh, shall I see God. Amen. I love Brother Job. I'll turn the recording off.